O our gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for this wonderful Lord's Day. You brought us together, this wonderful community of faith, that we all worship together and just be grateful to your love and presence. O Lord, that be with us as we share and open your words, that use me and use all of us to feel your love and presence. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together be acceptable to you this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So thank you so much once again that inviting me and allowing me to stand in this very place that where your late and beloved Pastor Paul Kim has stood many Sundays to faithfully deliver the Word of God. And I'm really excited to be here with you, and I trust that God is blessing that you all in this community of faith and that people are being drawn closer to the heart of Christ. Amen? So I'm kind of like amen type of preacher, so if you feel like it, you can always shout amen. Now you have a permission. Yes. So thank you, Daniel. Now, I must admit that I've been toiling over what to speak to you all today. Of course, it's my very first time in here as guest preacher, and I want to share something that's close to my heart. At the same time, I hope that I'd be able to share something that would be valuable to the life of Campbell. Then it came to me that I really like to share with you something that has impacted me very early on in my life when I was young and as a part of community of faith. This is what I liked and appreciated the most, and frankly that what I still believe strongly is one of the most important qualities about being a church together. It is encouragement. Amen? Amen. This is what the church offered to me when I was growing up and during the most formative years of my life. And what I would like to cultivate in the life of community of faith and congregation wherever I serve and am part of. This is one of the most important things that I think we all need to live out as a ministry and as a people of God. And we live in a world that is desperate for encouragement. There's this old cowboy song that goes like this, and I'm sure you all know this. And to have the full effect of this song, you will need to imagine a cowboy, right? Can you do that? If you have a kid, so do you remember the Toy Story? The Woody from the Toy Story with the cowboy hat, sitting on a horse, and maybe chewing a piece of grass as it looks off on the sky. And I'm sure you know this, if you are, and please don't leave me hanging by myself here. So here goes this. Let me try it. I'm not a necessary singer, but it goes like this. Home, home on the range, where the deer and an antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. I knew you had it in there. Even. Thanks, choir. That's first, you know, that my impromptu attempt of singing any songs, I mean, someone has a harmony, that's the first. So thank you for that. These are the words that were seldom is heard a discouraging word. Wow, now that would be quite nice, wouldn't it? You know, to be in a place where the discouragement is seldom heard, where encouragement is the standard rather than the exception to the rule, where there are no clouds and there's a lots of sunshine, and that would be really nice. But often our reality seems quite far from this cowboy fantasy. So from the moment I flick on Sunday early news in the morning to get to the traffic news, and we are bombarded by discouraging words all day long. I don't know how many of you tune into this, but we tune into Good Morning America, but actually what we hear often is like, Bad Morning America, right? Full of news is that crime is up, and our economy is struggling, and something's going wrong in the Congress, and there's this global warming, and the natural resources are dwindling. And then there are people in your life, maybe perhaps your boss, or your coworker, or even your spouse, and or your kids sometimes, who give you a hard time. And even when you're simply standing in the grocery checkout line, you encounter much negativity through the headlines of, you know, those trashy tabloids, magazines. And I don't know how many of you have noticed this, but there isn't ever any good news gossip on those pages, is there? Have you noticed that? There's no good news gossip. And you know, it's not just the fact that there's a bad news like out there, but when the world is full, or the world is just full of negativity. But I think that many of us would actually be able to relate to a time of our lives that where we felt pretty defeated. Seems like things just hasn't gone our way for a long, long time. Or we're struggling with the issues that we just can't seem to get out of. And we begin to feel that what seems like a desperate choking on our soul, and all we wanted to do, say, sometimes is just wave the white flag and say, you know what, I've done it, I had it, I give up, I give in, and it's over. We need to realize that what we need more and more of in such a world like this, it's not money, it's not things, it's not power, but a loving and caring community that involves itself in this great life-giving, really life-giving ministry of gift of encouragement. A community in which truly seldom is heard a discouraging word. A place where those people who claim to be brothers and sisters in Christ just relentlessly make every moment and every opportunity one in which someone can be lifted up and inspired and moved forward by the authentic sharing of encouraging words and encouraging actions. You know, personally, I believe that the ministry, this ministry is not able to, the most of the church ministry is not able to blossom and flourish without this particular quality in the community of faith. So could you imagine what your life would be like together in this very local ministry if you all diligently sought to encourage one another with the grace that God has given to each and every one of you? You know, actually, last time I was here, it was not long ago, that I witnessed this very quality in the life of this congregation. For the memorial service for Pastor Paul, and I saw truly the encouragement and love abound in this place and in the life of the people right here. And there's this verse in Hebrews 10 that says, we should hold fast to the confession without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And what we should consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This passage is simply saying that we need to be encouraged, and we need to be encouragers. You know, some of us will have the special spiritual gift of encouragement that will need to be identified, honed, and refined for the purpose of building God's community and purpose of God in the church. But as with many of spiritual gifts, there is also an extended invitation to all of us who are in the body of Christ, who are serious about their relationship with Christ and with each other, to participate in the same. Well, I'm sure that many of you will not argue with the fact that this world and even the church in many ways that could use a lot more life-giving encouragement. But the question that we should ultimately ask is, so how is this done? Right? But the question is, how does it look like in the community of faith? And how can be an agent of the words and actions that builds up people and moves them forward? So this morning, that in order to answer that question and also show you what it means to be an encourager, that I would like to take a look at a real-life example of one who devoted his life relentlessly to the ministry of encouragement. And he is probably one of the most endearing and most vital characters in the book of Acts. And I'm pleased to introduce him. His name is Barnabas. In fact, his name was initially Joseph, but the community was so grateful for his gift of encouragement, they call him Barnabas. And then the Bible says it literally means a son of encouragement. And many of you might not be very familiar with this character, Barnabas, but he is the perfect example of someone who possesses the gift of encouragement. So his gift plays a very vital role in the development of the early church. And in looking at his life, we will learn that how much his gift of encouragement is needed in the body of Christ back then and even today. So Barnabas devoted himself to building up people who are around him. Because Barnabas was kind of person who was not occupied with his status or his standing. Instead, his constant focus or desire was on the well-being of others. So the first time that we encounter Barnabas in Book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 36, it says, "There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement." What he did was he sold a field that belonged to him and then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's the first time we met him. And he's the first recorded donor in this new community of faith, and his generosity is obvious. But more importantly, with his gift, what he did was he encourages the disciples, the early church, first church leadership. And I love how the Bible puts it. He puts the money at the feet of disciple, it says. And he gave it to them without any agendas or with no strings attached. And he simply wanted to bless the community and bless the people. Barnabas is an example of those we might call balcony people. Anybody heard that term, balcony people? Balcony people are those, you know, and think of horse racing. And balcony people is the one who stand in the balcony watching you run your race of your life. And they just cheer you on. They are the kind of people who believe in you. They are your cheering section. They are realistic about your fallings and shortcomings, but they also have a vision of what God made you to be, the potential they have in you. And when you have some balcony people in your life, some people who just cheer you on and believe you, and you have this deep sense that they are really for you, and their very words breathe life and encouragement into you. So when you win, they celebrate with you as though that they had won themselves. And they rejoice with you when you rejoice. And they mourn with you when you mourn. They are living and breathing incarnation of Paul's advice in Romans that rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. They tend to say, you know, you can do it. Don't give up. Don't give in. Balcony people, when they tell you that they are praying for you, that you know it's not just a casual statement, that you know they are really praying for you. One of the greatest examples of balcony people in action is a scene in how Barnabas stands alongside a man by the name of Saul in Book of Acts in chapter 9. You may know that this chapter tells the story of Saul's conversion on his road to Damascus. He is on his way up to bind up and kill the followers of Jesus, the people of the way. But then he meets the resurrected Jesus on the way, and the long story short, he is converted. And sometime not long after that, he heads over to Jerusalem, which of course at this point is the headquarters of the church. And there, he meets the disciples. So anyone would like to guess that what kind of responses that he received from the disciples? Remember, this is the guy who were present at the stoning of the deacon Stephen and dedicated his life to the persecution of Christians. And now he shows up in Jerusalem and says, basically he says, can I find out who is the key leaders of the church and can I hang out with you? No way, right? No one would believe that he is now a disciple and he's converted and that his heart is totally changed. It's hard to believe. Then we see this line in scripture that we read today, chapter 9, verses 27. It starts like this. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his way had seen the Lord and that the Lord had spoken to him and how in Damascus